You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and welcome to another fabulous episode of Dear Multi-Hyphenate. I'm your host, Michael Kushner, and I'm so excited to bring this fabulous episode to you. Oh my gosh, BroadwayCon was so fun. I was only there Saturday, but it's just amazing seeing so many people travel for this thing that we all love. And there's so many different types of fans, right? There's the fans that saw Carol Channing in Hello, Dolly. And then there's the fans that love contemporary theater. And then there's, you know, there's just so many. There's theater educators and small business owners. It's just amazing. And it's just, you know, it always puts a smile on my face and seeing the incredible talent and just, it's just so wonderful. So if you were at BroadwayCon and said hi, I'm so glad that you did. I met so many listeners to this podcast. And if you didn't, why not? Why didn't you say hi? But if not, I hope to see you next year at BroadwayCon. I had two panels. I had my photographer-videographer panel, which was so fun. That was with Jenny Anderson, Joan Marcus, Michael Hull, and Rebecca Michelson. And then we had this panel, which was a live podcast episode with Broadway Podcast Network featuring Tony nominee L. Morgan Lee, Lucille Lortel winner Marla Mindell, Al Silber, and Rachel Wright. I'm going to keep the intro short because I just want to get into the episode because it's just so, it's a great one, but a reminder that, you know, I'm teaching my workshop. I was like, what am I talking about? Oh, right. Okay. I'm teaching my workshop Multi-Hype with my two co-teachers and wonderful collaborators and friends, Ashley Kate Adams and Kimberly Faye Greenberg. It is a workshop about becoming a multi-hyphenate, and you walk out with tangible things to help start your small business or start your producing endeavor. You know, it's we really sort of transform how you approach the industry in just 3 short days. So we start August 31st. The workshop is a week. We give you 2 days off in between, you know, the Monday and Wednesday class and the Wednesday and Friday class so that you could do your homework and assignments. And then we have a big presentation on Friday that's just like, it's so great, so supportive. And you walk away with an amazing ensemble, community of fellow multi-hyphenates. So if you want more of that, you can, you know, email multihypeworkshop@gmail.com or follow me on Instagram @TheMichaelKushner or @DearMultiHyphenate and drop a message, drop a question. You know, I always love to hear from you. I'm super accessible on social media. I respond to just about every message. And it would be great to hear from you. And please rate, subscribe, comment, do all of that good stuff. It really is important, so, you know, help me out, please. I also just want to say, like, it's summer, and, you know, I wear swoveralls when I'm in the studio, but also when I'm editing, when I'm going out, they're super cute. And swoveralls are sweatpant overalls, and no one knows that they're sweatpant material. They look super fun, super classy, and they're great for so many different events. I've even walked the red carpet in them in some opening nights. So, but we love them. My husband and I wear them all the time. I have so many different pairs. I have the black ones. I have the pink lemonade ones. I have the burnt orange ones. I mean, they're just so great. Perfect gifts for people too. And they have swovy shorts now, which is perfect for the summer because this summer is wild. But please go to swoveralls.com and get your pair of swoveralls. You could do anything in them, truthfully. And you could be a multi-hyphen in them. So let's get into the episode. Again, Thanks to my panelists for being on this fabulous episode. Thanks for listening. Rate, subscribe, comment, do all of that good stuff. And if you want to hear from someone on the podcast, message me. Tell me. I would probably love to have them. Okay, enjoy the episode. Oh, hello. I think we're going to start. Hi, BroadwayCon 2023. Yeah. This is exciting. Oh, my gosh. How is everyone doing? Yeah. Was anyone here for the first BroadwayCon where there was a snowstorm? Yeah. Yeah, that was good. That was a good one. I miss it. It's really hot. Okay, so anyway, hi. My name is Michael Kushner, and I am the... Hello. Oh, we love a woo. I feel like I'm back at Frenchwoods when I was popular for three summers only. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, I am the host of Dear Multi-Hyphenate on the Broadway Podcast Network. And another whoop. Thank you so much. Put that in motion on Apple Podcasts and leave a review. Thank you. And this is like my favorite discussion. Last year we had incredible artists on this panel, and I was like, how am I going to top it? And then I found these incredible artists on the street. And they,
Busking.
Yes, yeah. I don't Busking have any previous relationship with these people. Just kidding. I am joined by four incredible women on this panel, and we're going to share stories about certain things that we talk about in the industry that aren't mainstream conversations. And it's a business conversation, but it's a real, real fun business conversation. So we're going to get into it. Let's do the intro. Hello and welcome to a very special episode of Dear Multi-Hyphenate, live from BroadwayCon 2023. Yeah. By being in our audience today, you are part of a live recording of the podcast, so please feel free to laugh, applaud, and react along with us. You will also see a game card on your seat. As you enjoy BroadwayCon today, we hope you'll play along with us to complete your Get Mic'd challenge and come back to see our Broadway Podcast Network team for a very special prize. Make sure you're also following us at Broadway Podcast Network for the latest updates on what we're up to at BroadwayCon. Now let's get started. So let's start on the right, stage right. We have Rachel Wright. Rachel is a distinguished psychotherapist and renowned speaker with expertise in modern relationships, mental health, and sex. Her mission is to help people live happier, healthier lives by providing insights and practical advice in a relatable and engaging way. With a master's degree in clinical psychology, Rachel has worked with thousands of clients worldwide, earning a reputation for her empathetic and humorous approach. Her message has resonated with audiences on stages across the globe, as well as on our podcast, The Right Conversations, a podcast about sex, relationships, and mental health. Rachel is also a seasoned educator and coach, having created the virtual workshop series, What You Wish You Learned in School, Sex Ed, and co-produced and hosted a show at the Green Room 42, which I produced with you, called One Night Stand, A Night for a Sexier and Healthier Broadway. She was, it was cool.
Yes.
It was fierce. Oh, yeah. It was fierce. Super educational and also just like amazing. She also was Shape Magazine's Sex and Relationships Coach and is currently one of MindBody Green's article review experts. As a widely recognized mental health and relationship expert, Rachel has been featured in numerous media outlets, including The New York Times, Pix11, Women's Health Online in Print, Cosmopolitan Online in Print, and NBC News Radio, among others. Give it up for Rachel Wright. And to my right, I have the fabulous L. Morgan Lee. L. Morgan Lee is a Tony Award-nominated actress and storyteller known for her history-making turn in A Strange Loop on Broadway. In London, she was seen playing famed artist Lily
Elba
in a musical adaptation of The Danish Girl, currently in development. Other work includes well over a decade of off-Broadway regional, international, national concerts and tours. In the studio, L. Morgan was the voice of Omati?
Ornate.
Oh, Ornate. That's the ink bled together, so it became an M. We love that. Of ornate, right, we just met on the street, so it's fine. Of ornate Williams in Sugar Maple with Fred Savage, and can be found on Joe Iconis' album, The Rainbow Lullaby album, The Rainbow Lullaby album, and more. And then to my, give it up for Elmore Finley. And then to my left, we have Marla Mendell. It's called a receptionist, not a deceptionist. Stop fucking lying to me. I love that line so much. It's a good one. Marla Mendell is an actress, writer, and composer. She won the 2023 Lucille Lortel Award for Best Performer in a Musical for her portrayal of Celine Dion in the hit off-Broadway musical Titanic. It's amazing. As a co-writer, Titanic also, I say Titanic, is that okay?
It's Titanic.
Titanic. Yeah. Wow, I...
Like Titanic.
Yeah.
Titanic.
Right,
yeah.
Titanic.
Yeah, yeah.
I just put a Jewish spin on it.
Titanic.
As a co-writer, Titanic also won the Lucille Lortel for Best Off-Broadway Musical. She has received an Outer Circle Critics nomination for a portrayal of Sister Mary Robert in the original cast of Sister Act on Broadway. Ooh. She has also appeared as stepsister Gabrielle in the original Broadway company of Cinderella.
Oh my God.
Other credits include South Pacific, The Drowsy Chaperone. You could see her as resident bitch Olivia in the Emmy-nominated series Special on Netflix, which is amazing. She has sold multiple movie and television projects in L.A. with her writing partner, Jonathan Parks.
Ramage.
I want to add like a Ramage to everything. So. And then to our left, all the way over there, we have Al Silber. Al Silber is an actress, singer, writer, and educator. She has performed roles on Broadway in London's West End, on television and film, and concert stages. Among other stage roles in London, she created the role of Laura in The Woman in White, played Huddle in Fiddler, and Julie Jordan in Carousel. In New York, she appeared in Hello Again, Masterclass, created the role of Sarah Jane in Arlington, and at Seidel in the Broadway revival of Fiddler on the Roof in 2015. Silber's debut novel, After Anatevka, chronicling what happens to the characters of Huddle and Perchik, made famous by the Shalom Aleichem stories, and in the musical Fiddler on the Roof, and White Hot Grief Parade, a memoir about losing her father to cancer when she was 18, were both published by Pegasus Books in 2018. Give it up for everyone. Let's get the convo started.
I just have to say really quickly, I wrote to Marla here, help, I'm unqualified.
No. That's the
everyone's so amazing.
I wrote you are as a joke.
I felt the same thing.
I'm going to keep those. Please
everyone's
and frame them.
So fabulous
no,
here.
You're all so, you're so unqualified. You're so qualified.
Wow, well, thank you, Michael.
Sort of, you know, this is going to be my 92nd episode of this podcast, and I have so many people that are like, I have like recent college grads that are just starting their new business that, you know, that are on this trek, and we're talking about how do you start a small business in the theater. That is just as important as talking about when you won your Tony Award or when you whatever. All of this is how, this is the how. This is when people go, so how did you get from point A to point B? This is that podcast. This is that conversation. So yes, you are all qualified. Let's start with just an opening question. Let's start from the left to the right. What is a multi-hyphenate to you? And how do you, and how did you engage in being one in the past year? So what's a multi-hyphenate and how have you approached that that idea in the past year to your work? Let's start with Al.
I love it. A multi-hyphenate to me is an unlimited being that isn't even necessarily an unlimited artist, because I think that's even limiting in and of itself. A being that is in the world that is operating from a place of asking, how can I contribute? And how can I make the world a better place? And not allowing voices, the voices of they, as in they say, the voices of they to get in the way of what one thinks, dreams, and believes is possible. And that is what I think a multi-hyphenate is. And the definition is still in progress. always evolving. How have I engaged in it in the past year? I don't know how I haven't engaged in that behavior in the past year. Yes. I think I've tried to... I'm a person that really, really tries to identify my values and live them. And one of my values, are integrity, courage, and service. And to me, integrity is about doing what you say you're going to do, not just talking, but walking your talk. And so for me, when it comes to living a multi-hyphenate life, it's really about never allowing fear or self-deprecation or the voices of they to get in the way of what I believe is a contribution, either incredibly small, helping out my neighbor in my building, to, yes, I am going to put forward this three-novel arc proposal to my publisher and see if they're going to buy it. And also helping other people, that to me is also service, helping other people do the same by coming here and going, you can do it too. It's mm-hmm. just about the energy and the thoughts that get you there.
So when you talk about integrity and mm-hmm. things like that, like how have you felt you've implemented that in your life and advocated for yourself? Because I think multi-hyphenating is, there's a lot of advocacy that has to happen because we are our own bosses. We are establishing our own shows. We are putting our own shows off Broadway. We are establishing our own businesses. We are creating web series. So there's a lot of advocacy for ourselves and standing in our power. So how have you advocated for yourself recently in terms of integrity?
Well, I recently had a very, very fancy job that I quit. And thank you for the word. Yes. And it was agonizing. It was agonizing. And I will say that I want to also say, by the way, that like the actual act of leaving the job was actually very drama-free. I think everyone involved did everything right in terms of that exit. But the internal, I mean, I can see the faces here going, oh, that sounds hard, you know. The internal drama of the stories that were told about what artists, I think also women and people in oppressed groups are supposed to deliver for the big patriarchal white machine, capitalist machine, that we are supposed to experience suffering as if that makes us somehow more noble, a better artist.
Anyone
right?
have that experience here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not to just jump right in, but to say, some of you know this about me, some of you do not, but I'll share, and I think a lot of people have experiences like this. I also, in the last 8 years and during the pandemic, went through a really big health scare. That luckily has been, I've been cured of, which is amazing. But I think one of the things that was really amazing about this is that my experience with life or death health things also seemed to align with the great resignation, the labor movements that we're having. And it presented to me this issue of this job presented itself to me as the appropriate size problem, if that makes sense, right? Going, it's not that this isn't hard, but this is not life or death because I have experienced life or death. Mm-hmm. And actually, if you think about it, we all went through the pandemic. We all had to think about losing others, losing our freedom, our autonomy, contemplating our actual health. And what I realized was that though art is divine and has the power to change the world, that is true. And an equally true thought at the same time is it's just a play. Yeah. And that I have fought so hard to be alive, is this what I'm going to fill my hard won days with? And the answer was a very simple no. Yeah. And so all power to that production and may it flourish. I'm sure it will flourish without me and I'm flourishing without it, and mazel tov.
Yes. Yeah, I relate to that because I'm a diagnosed COVID long hauler, and COVID really fucked me up. And navigating what that did was really painful because I wasn't able to work the same schedule that I was so annoying. I mean, wake up early and go to bed really late and work the whole time and not eat and forget to eat because healing, I was able to take care of myself and remember that being an actor is the least exciting thing about me. Mm. and about us. We're all human beings, and there's so much more that comes before that, and that's healthy living and, you know, being present on this planet. So thank you for sharing that.
Thank you for letting me.
Marla, what's a multi-hyphenate to you, and how have you been one in the past year?
Well,
I just love that I'm talking to you so much because all of your YouTube views are me and my friends.
From like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Not to age myself, but yeah. I just did.
No. We're off book for everything.
Oh, good.
Thank God. 100%.
Thank God, because I've already forgotten. That's how old I am.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be nearly as eloquent as you, unfortunately. I think it's so, I'm so proud. I'm so proud to be on this panel for so long. This is crazy, but I had such shame about trying to call myself a multi-hyphenate because nobody thought of me as that. I struggled so hard in New York while I was doing Broadway shows to say, hey, I have this other passion and it's writing. Will you read my script? Do you want to develop it? And nobody did. And then I went to Los Angeles and I gave up musical theater and I was just writing. And I said, but wait a second, I can also perform too. I'm a singer. Do you want to see me audition for anything? I battled this dichotomy of being in one box for the last 20 years. And so to finally have something that represents me as a singer, as a a mover, as a writer, not a dancer, a singer
strong
that moves,
strong
okay.
Yep.
Yeah. That is what I've spent the last year doing, is proving finally to myself, because you start to not even believe in yourself. You start to think, maybe I'm not worthy of this. Maybe I should only stick to one thing. So I think a multi-hyphenate is being able to say, no, goddammit, I am more than just one thing, and I will prove it to you. And so yeah, I hope that makes sense. But for the last year, like, the proof is in the pudding of Titanic. I mean, that is the most beautiful Venn diagram of what I do. And I just, for anybody that's struggling or does not believe in themselves, you just have to keep going. Because one day it will happen and it will be the most glorious thing of your whole lives. So just don't, never stop. Never stop.
That is
amen.
Has anyone seen Titanic in this room? It's
crazy.
You gotta see it. Everyone's talking about it.
Oh, good.
And rightly so, because it is one of the. So, you know, I'm gonna go into this question, but I want to preface it by saying, you know, what I so love about Titanic is I'm gonna work on my Celine. Is the fact that the first character introduced in the show is the audience. And that there's so many times we'll watch something and we'll watch, as an audience member, the actors have such a great time and it feels like an inside joke and we're like, wow, what a great inside joke. That was fun. But with Titanic, the audience is in on the joke. We are the first character introduced, and it feels like you take care of us. Mm-hmm. The way that it's written and created, you take care of us. And that's what we need to do with audiences, is take care of each other. We're all here together. But you're talking about that tug of war between yourself and the industry, but what about your collaboration when you were creating this show? Like, when did you feel that there was Marla the actor and Marla the creator, and when did you sort of find the situation when it was okay to speak up as both, one or the other? How did you navigate that?
It's very funny. I left musical theater. I had done it for, you know, 8 years consistently, and we all know what that life is like. It's wonderful, it's fabulous, but when you have other aspirations, you have to shoot for the moon. So I left to primarily be a writer, and I was really struggling with writing in Los Angeles. And then I found myself at this very low-budget dinner theater in Los Angeles that was doing these movie-to-musical parodies. And I started working with friends just to do this for fun. So there has never, it's funny because, yes, we have created this, but it was so collaborative that we are like an amoeba, and we think of each other as one brain. Now, let me tell you something. When I started doing the show, I did not realize that there are so many other business aspects that you don't even think of. You think of, oh, my dream is to like write a show and be in the show. You don't think of, oh, what about recasting it? We have to do rewrites. There's problems with company members. Not that happened in our shows, but just to give you an example, just there's so many little minutiae that you don't even think about. So during the first year that I performed the show, I really had to actually maintain more of an actor role and just give all the creative stuff to the director. But now that I'm out of the show, and I can go watch it. I can like give notes, and I feel like I'm more, I feel like I'm more on the creative side. But it's been crazy because you think, oh my God, I'm gonna be able to do everything. I'm gonna have all the power, all the control, and you can't. You're just too exhausted. So that's been the really interesting thing that I never would have known had I not done it.
Wow, that's awesome. Thank you, Marla, for that. I mean, The one brain that you talk about, it's so prevalent on stage because everyone is living and breathing together. It is a real, I mean, I just can't wait to see it 800 more times, and I really just hope you run past January. But I
think that's because what we did in Los Angeles was just silly, stupid, just to make each other laugh. Yeah. And because we were in a dinner theater, you know, people are, you know, eating a burger and drinking a glass of wine. And so you sit on their laps and you just kind of drink their wine. Well, this was pre-pandemic. Yeah. But, you know, you just included them. And so what ended up happening with this show is we never wanted to lose that. We never wanted to lose the intimacy and feeling like this was actually just like this fun secret that we were all stumbling into together. And so that's why I think we have become, and we have remained, just so diligent about including the audience.
Yes.
As opposed to it just being like a regular proscenium show where you're just performing.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's just so great. Thank you for that.
Of course.
Elle Morgan, hi.
Hello.
What's a multi-hyphenate to you?
It's interesting. I sort of fought this idea of being a multi-hyphenate. Even in our initial conversation, I was like, yeah.
Episode 46.
I am a multi-hyphenate, but I don't really want to talk about it because people will think if you do more than one thing, then you are somehow
it's
not capable
stigma.
Of doing one of those things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so to me, a multi-hyphenate is someone who is not afraid to stay in the box. Who is not afraid to get out of the box, who feels trapped in that box, got to stay in the box. We don't want to condone staying in the box.
Yeah. Unless you're a cat.
there's the idea that I'm not able to do all of the things. And I realized for me personally, it was a matter of sort of, if I leaned into acting, if I did anything else, people would feel uncomfortable with the idea of me having an opinion. Because I'm also a director. And so it's like, because I direct and write a little, when you are in the space, it's like having to turn off that director brain because it's almost like you're not allowed to have a POV in this space, even though that POV is very integral to the performances that you see. You know, the favorite actors always have a POV. So that's one of the things that stuck in my mind a lot. I'm also a photographer, so I speak, I think in a very visual way. And that was the big thing when we spoke the first time that I was sort of hesitant about being public with, because I feel like that stigma was like very, very strong, because you can't be, you know, known as an actor and on the same token have someone go, oh, well, she could take your headshots. And so that's actually something, I can't believe I'm saying it out loud here at this table, because it's something I'm actually still dealing with, even more so now.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, if you, look, if you have an actress that you respect, you know, if you, let's use an Audra McDonald as an example. If Audra is there and she happens to also take photos of people, you would never be able to just go on a website and book an hour with Audra. There is an element for a photography.
Oh, I would. I was like, for what? How much? I'll book an hour with Audra.
Welcome to my mind. But there is an element of having to sort of manage sort of how that multi-hyphenate is used, and accessibility is a real thing. You actually can't be that accessible in some ways, but still wanting to allow those areas to flourish. So, you know, finding the lane of photography that I want to be playing in is more portraiture and more working with people that are sort of outside of the theater community. Mm-hmm. And that's my thing.
You bring up something that I love talking about, and it's the fact that the original, when I was like really starting this work on multi-hyphenating, I Googled, I was like, let me see what a definition is, if there is one. And it was a celebrity that does multiple things. And I was like, why?
And that we all are.
Yeah.
Celebrities.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm a D-list. Yeah. D-list celebrity. But yeah.
We were all verified on Instagram before you could pay for it. Yeah. So no. So anyway, I was like, why why does it have to be a celebrity? Like, we look, when I do workshops on multi-hyphenating with young students, I start with, who is a multi-hyphenate in the industry? And people say, Lin-Manuel Miranda, and Mel Brooks, and Whoopi Goldberg, and, you know, all of these wonderful, wonderful people.
Jason Alexander.
We have the Cottage on Broadway, which, see it, it is hysterical and wonderful if you're able to see it while you're in town. And I was like, why do you have to sort of, like, graduate into multi-hyphenating? Why can't you start there? And also, you know, multi-hyphenating is, I think, primarily made out of people that are from marginalized communities, you know, members of the LGBTQI plus community, people of color, artists with disabilities, like, because we are in an industry that is the straight white man, you know, at the top, we have to bring our stories forward. We are the ones that have to write them. We have to then figure out how to fund them and figure out how to get them forward. So if you think about a multi-ethnic in the industry, chances are they are a Jewish person. They are a member of the LGBTQIA plus community. They are a person of color. It's just, it's because we're getting our stories out there. But I really was like, how can we start as multi-ethnics? How can we... you know, it is a business. It is a small business, and it's not about being an actor, photographer, producer, writer, podcast, whatever. It's not about taking jobs from other people. It is about leaning into our power. It's actually really socially responsible because we're creating jobs. It's lucrative, and when we are working on projects, we are hiring people. We are paying them. It is literally creation of jobs, which is really kind of cool. But speaking of small business, you know, on episode 46, we had an interesting conversation about how we run our businesses. And you said that when it comes to money, you are a leave it on the table kind of a person. And I'm like, deposit, you have to pay before the photo shoot. It is a very, like, strict, it is, like, regulated. And I was so interested to learn that. So since we talked, has that changed at all in any aspect of your career?
Absolutely.
Go on.
I mean, it's crazy to even know that I said that. Like, that I had the idea of, oh, God, this was a couple years ago?
It was about a year and a half.
Well, it's like pre-Broadway, post-Broadway.
Yeah. It was
so before Broadway, I was very much like, oh, no. Oh, my God, money is such an awkward conversation. I just, I know you're going to pay. Just leave it there, and then we'll go. It's cool. Post-Broadway, no, you're going to give me my money. And, like, we're actually going to, like, have a really stern conversation about how much money I'm going to be receiving.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, it's, you know, when one is taken advantage of in some way,
yeah,
you
yeah.
suddenly grow that skin that you didn't have before. And that's like it's interesting that you said that multi-hyphenates tend to come from, I've been saying, historically unresearched groups. This idea of marginalized doesn't feel quite right, and historically forgotten doesn't feel right, but historically unresearched is kind of right on that.
Love,
like, people are talking about these groups, but no one's going into the groups to actually have the conversations. And people are there. It's not like no one's out here. But it's interesting that those groups are the ones who tend to fall into this multi-hyphenate world, because we're also not seen as much, and so there's a need for our stories.
Mm-hmm.
We feel that void that's present, why our stories are not being told. And we have to pay our rent. We have to pay our bills. So you figure out the things that you're able to do to pay the bills.
Yeah.
And, like, that's the thing with photography for me, is I stumbled into it because I was, like, temping somewhere and, like, writing a play on the side, and I was like, I need to do something that people can't judge. I need to do something that's just for me.
Yes.
And photography became that thing. And sort of as people were like, oh, wow, you have a cool eye, I was like, well, wait, I could take headshots with this and, like, quit this temp job situation.
Yeah, love it.
And so that's what happened. Now I am sort of stepping away from the headshot situation because that's a little awkward.
Right.
But I still have to hold on to the photography so that it's for me.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. I mean, I've been such a fan of your work for so many years, because we go back about 10 years now with the creation of Musical Theater Factory, and that's where Strange Loop was incubated. Yes, give it up for Musical Theater Factory. And I've just been such a fan of your work for so long, watching you perform, but also navigate your photography and be protective of your photography and your art, which is so, so important, especially as multi-hyphenate. So thank you, Elle Morgan, so much for that.
Thank you.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Michael.
What's a multi-hyphenate to you, and how have you implemented that in the past year?
Oh, damn. I'm last. I should have had this prepared. So I have the word "and" tattooed on my arm right here, and to me, that is what...
I said you win.
That's what a multi-hyphenate is. It's a reminder to me that two things that seemingly could be opposite or dissonance can coexist at the same time. And not only can they coexist, but they so often do. You know, we can feel nervous and excited. We can be
scared.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. I said that once. That's a different time. I made that joke with the wrong audience, and I like sang it, and I just got like, I was like, oh no.
Check, please.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I need to leave now. So it's about the and how have I engaged with it? It's like, how do I, like you said, how do I not? It's literally who I am. I grew up doing theater, and my mom was an actress, and I like grew up in rehearsal spaces. And it wasn't until I was like mid-20s that I actually decided like, okay, I have to pick. And to become a therapist, I did have to pick. Like, there was this reality of, like, I had to do 3,000 hours and get a master's degree and do all these trainings. And there was, like, no shot in hell I was going to be able to, like, go continue to, like, do voice lessons, do moving lessons. To be very clear, that's, like, the number one reason I did not continue into theater. I was like, no. And so I picked psychology because I knew that I could and that with my love of theater in some way. I did not know what that would look like at all. And frankly, a lot of people were like, you're going to lose your passion. Like, you love theater. And I was like, yeah, but not enough to do it for my career to not become a therapist. Mm-hmm. And then I finally got to move out to New York, which I had wanted to do. And all of my friends were in theater, both from childhood, everybody I met, then I'd meet their friends, they were in theater. And like all of a sudden, my entire world was surrounded with people I grew up with and friends and new friends. And I was like, oh, this is funny. Like, it's starting to become this and then I started doing speaking events and all of my clients became theater people. And like, I was going on these, and it's truly something that feeds my life every day. Whether I am sitting in an audience or I'm helping, you know, behind the scenes with intimacy coordination or talking to people about writing someone's mental health journey in a way that is appropriate and accessible, which we so desperately need, or working with people to make sure that people are treated fairly while creating a production and that their mental health is staying intact, because often it's not. There's just so much, and to be able to fuse this love of relationships and sex and mental health with my love of the arts is something that I am so grateful for every day. So that's how I've engaged with it.
That's beautiful.
Thanks.
So for you, Rachel, you mentioned that you have a background in performing and theater loving as a youngster.
Yeah.
Now, when I asked you if you wanted to do that show, One Night Stand, which was really cool, what were your thoughts about it? Like, were you tentative? Were you hesitant? Were you excited and immediately yes? And like, how did you seamlessly blend? It was so amazing. How did you seamlessly blend sex therapy with Broadway and also create an evening that was deliverable to an audience? It wasn't just like we were like, oh, cool conversation. It was like we were all part of it and we all got to learn something about it.
I'm so sorry. Also, in the format of a cabaret, which is its own art form, right? Like, it's not exactly theater, which I just, you know, as another hyphen, I just want to...
I gotta tell you, I think I blacked the fuck out. I sat down to create the outline for the show. Michael and I like kind of brainchilded the idea together, and I sent Michael the outline, and he was like, "That's perfect. I have no notes." And I was like, and I asked a couple of my friends that had done some Broadway stuff, and they were like, "Yes, absolutely. I'll come sing." And I got up there, and it was the simultaneous moment of like, you're backstage and you're like, oh my God, I've rehearsed this 100 times, but like, what's my first line? Oh. Like that moment,
also combined with like, I'm exactly where I need to be. And like, this is perfect and everything is perfect. Both of those happened at once. And then all of a sudden we were done and Michael comes up to me and he's like, hey, there was a reviewer from Broadway World in the audience. And I was like, are you fucking serious?
Always.
And then it came out, this review came out, and I'm like sitting on my couch sobbing. It was like a new era of cabaret, like come see the show. And we were going to do a residency. Anyway, it's a long story. Yeah, it was really special. And I think that, again, it's this and. It's like I have learned what people need to learn, and I've learned what people need to change, and I've learned what people need to be entertained. Mm-hmm. And so to fuse those together and to bring people into a space that's non-judgmental, empathetic, loving, supportive, fun, right, to be able to be like, yeah, pussy, haha, you know, and like not have everybody be like, oh my God, did she just say pussy? You know, like, which I'm sure some of you just felt, which is totally okay. Like that's important. And so to be able to talk about these things, and like we had Dr. Heather come on and like we literally talked about herpes for like 15 minutes and the whole audience was like laughing and we were just like, and like I threw vibrators out into the audience, like at the breaks in between songs, and all of the songs were about sex, and like, the actors who sang them picked, like, it was like Touch Me from Spring Awakening, and it was just this unbelievable night of like self-awareness and sexuality. Yeah, I want to do that like 1500 more times. It was so fun.
If I had to sing a song about sex, I would probably sing Tradition.
Yeah.
Same. For me, my sense. Okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
No. Same.
So that's amazing.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Now, but why multi-hyphenating? Why now? Like, what? And if you disagree with it, like, if you're like, no, we should take a step back and we should all focus on one thing again, whatever that is, whatever. I'm open for discussion. But why now? Why is multi-hyphenating so important now? And why should we keep going with it? And what does it mean for the industry?
Aren't we tired of seeing the same things over and over again?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if even that was the only reason, it's so more than enough.
Yeah.
We don't get to see through the lens of different people. And I think that's like a major reason to explore your sort of, wherever in the multi-hyphenate world you lean, there's an excuse to explore that more deeply because your lens is important, because we probably don't get to see it.
Right. I'll add to that and say, also piggybacking off of what everyone has said about being a multi-hyphenate, why now? We're living longer than ever, right? And if one were to take, you know, again, Rachel, you are the expert here, but like once upon a time, monogamy was one person for life. And now it's one person at a time. And maybe not even that. And da-da-da, you know, like basically we're living so long and not necessarily even taking into consideration that we might change over time, which of course is an inevitability, that we grow sideways, that we become different versions of who we are. And I'll say this, and I wonder if any of you feel this as well, which is when I was a young person, my Detroit public school education provided me with actually really wonderful opportunities, but the one way in which I could access the arts was through being in the play, being in the musical. I couldn't conceive of a way of participating in the arts that wasn't as a performer. I didn't know about producing. There was no novel writing club after school. There was no producing class. And though some of those things exist in higher education, which of course is not accessible to everybody because it's $1 zillion, there aren't degrees for multi-hyphenates, right? And if so, I think one of the things, Al Morgan, you just brought up is the accusation that we're dabblers or masters of none, right? What I'll say is, if we as human beings, our souls, ourselves are allowed to expand and evolve, then why are our passions and ambitions not allowed to do the same? And when I was a young person, being a performer was the only thing that I realized was my ability to contribute meaningfully to the artistic world. And I am wise enough and experienced enough to know that that's no longer the case or the truth. And if that's the old thinking of a teenage me, it's also indicative of old thinking of a world that's behind. And if the world is a little behind, I don't have to be. I can live in that truth and be the example. But yeah, we're allowed to evolve, and so are our ambitions and our passions.
I love that. I think that like the more that we can show people that it's not dibble dabbling, right? Like nobody thinks it's interesting because it's mostly with like compulsive monogamy and artistry that's a thing,
right?
Right? Like nobody says, "Oh, you have 5 friends. Like, why?
Right?
Don't you just need one?" You're like
forever till death.
Yeah. My one friend that I do everything with that meets all my needs and we have all the same hobbies. Like what?
Yeah.
So it's totally acceptable to be like, yeah, I have like 18 friends or 200 friends. But the second we say like, oh, I have 3 partners, you're like, what? Mm-hmm. Or like, oh, I have 3 jobs or 3 passions. It's like, oh, well, you must not have just found the one. You must not have found the job that you're passionate about yet. And it's like this, oh, you haven't found it yet. And the fact is, the more of us that can say, no, I have found it and I have found multiple its. Right. And so I'm going to keep doing all of those so that someone else can look at you and say, I could do that too. I can do all of that. And on days where I know I have this voice in my head that's like, no, you're not good enough. Or like, look who you're sitting next to. You're not, you don't have credits like that. Like I stopped performing at so young, right? Like these internal voices that get into our heads, we can then look at other people who are doing it and that can help be a reflection. So if that's you, like keep doing it because you're going to be that reflection for someone else. And that's why I personally share so much of my life on social media is because like I want people to know that there are therapists with depression and panic disorder. I want people to know that I'm non-monogamous and I navigate jealousy all the time. Like I want people to know that these ands exist out there. And so if you have an and you keep living it, someone else is gonna notice even if they don't tell you.
Beautiful.
Everyone's Thanks. Going to get and tattoos.
Yes.
Yeah, she wins.
So that's
or
this.
And shirt.
Yes, I like that. So this is all well and good, and I love this conversation, but how do you implement this? Because like I say in my book, How to Be a Multi-Hyphenate in the Theater Business Conversation.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is it right there?
Yeah, it's right over here.
It's right here.
This book.
Available at all good booksellers.
It's at the Drama Bookshop if you want to get it while you're in town. Anyway, so I say that there are four, it's very inherently Jewish, asking 4 questions, you know, like Passover.
Why is this panel different from all other panels?
Yes, exactly, literally. So I ask, you know, when, so there's.
That was good.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
I just almost spit out my water.
Like, you know, this is great. We could all talk about the ideas of multi-hyphenating, but like, how do you implement it into your life? And I say, when you were figuring out like, is this a hobby? Is this a side gig? Or is this a multi-hyphenate experience? Mm-hmm. Like, I ask myself 4 questions and it's, for this thing, do I get paid for it? So I identify as an actor, photographer, producer, writer, podcaster, and educator. Do I get paid for it? Does it bring me joy? Which is really important, right? We don't, if we're creating our own identity and it doesn't bring us joy, that doesn't make any sense. So do I get paid? Does it bring me joy? Do I have a paper trail? Like if you Google on me, or go on my social media, you're going to learn that about me. You're going to see my work. And the most important, well, it's not the most important, but it's an important one, is do they cross-pollinate? So I think what is the difference between, like, oh, I do all of these things, and people can list all of these things, but usually when we do, we incorporate our hobbies, our interests, and it's like, well, does that, isn't that going to confuse you when you're becoming, maybe some of those skills affect the proficiencies, and like maybe you could, it's a, like a subcategory or something like that. But cross-pollinating is really important because like my income with photography helps me produce projects that I can be in as an actor, or my producing then helps me create this and then I'm there. But so they all should intertwine with each other. That way you can cut the fat and sort of you're not just like, I'm an actor, photographer, producer, writer, podcaster, educator, next door neighbor, uncle,
dog walker, dog lover. Plant
it's like,
daddy.
Okay, those are cool attributes to yourself, but like, so what for you all, like, are good methods of keeping your multi-hyphenate experience solid and strong? Like, what is your workflow? When do you do your best work? How do you stay organized? Wow.
Wow.
I just swallowed my own saliva, so sorry.
One of the things that you said, asking the four questions, the four Passover questions, joy, that's, like, for me, that's at the top of my list. That's when I realized that I had more joy writing and creating art than I did actually performing in it. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that something was really up when I was prolific in the amount that I was creating. And so for anybody here that is wondering, oh, what should I do? Can I do it? You absolutely can do it, but you need to be like prolific about it. Mm-hmm. And you need to create a body of work, because you never know what's gonna hit. You know, I always had a million balls in the air, and I mean, LOL, talk about money, no money. To this day, no money. I have no money. But the thing that I led with, you would think, but no, it's theater. The thing that I led with, and what makes it kind of all okay, even not having a lot of money, is the fact that it was born out of such joy. Mm-hmm. And other things that really helped me were creating a really good schedule for myself. Mm-hmm. So I have like a bunch of writing partners, and three times a week we work for 2 hours a day. You know, you treat it, even though you're not getting paid for it, you treat it like an actual job. Mm-hmm. And I just think by, you know, throwing so many things at the wall and I'm constantly doing it, it's only inevitable that if you stick with it long enough, that something will happen. So I hope that that helps anybody in any sort of way.
I love that so much. I want to say something I do myself, but I use language to really name it. You were saying treat it like a job. That used to trip me up, because I would go, oh, well, it's not a job. And I said, this is my work, which I think is a much more activating word for me, you know,
art.
Like, yeah, like I'm at work, and the exchange of money, which is, by the way, going back to what El Morgan was talking about, is an exchange of energy and respect. Okay. But that I'm not necessarily going to my job. I am going to work, and it might become a job. The huge payout monetarily will come down the line, but I cannot sell air. I can only sell things that I have made, and that will come from creating my own flow. So I just call it I'm going to work, which to me helps.
Workflow.
Yeah, it helps me.
I think I was just sharing with some friends that my new ritual in the morning is I wake up every day at 7. I know.
Why?
Oh,
why?
I'll still go to sleep at like 12 or 1. Like, I'm like, good morning, everyone.
Okay.
Yeah. But I mean, I'll try to build in an app if I can. But my first client of the day is usually at 12 p.m. in my studio. But that gives me 5 hours to do some computer work and edit and stay on top of that. But the morning is when my brain works the best. Mm-hmm. That's when I'm waking up and I'm like, let's do this. And like, I can think of 8 million things I want to do. But what I do right now is I make myself tea and I sit at my desk, which is by the window, and I listen to a cast album I don't know well.
Oh, interesting.
And I am downloaded with so much information, not only for myself, but for my friends. I'll text them and be like, there's this song in Rex, which was a musical in 1976 that flopped about Henry VIII.
Yeah,
it is
Rogers.
Yes,
Richard Rogers.
Yeah, it's Richard Rogers and
Richard
Lerner
Rogers.
Lowe, Frederick Lowe? No.
Right. Hold on, let me.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it is Frederick Lowe.
So there's some great music in it, and it was like a total flop. But then
Yeah, it's Sheldon.
Oh, right, Sheldon Harnick.
May he rest.
They
yeah.
Together.
Yeah, right. And I get to know a show that I don't know. I'm like, and what I'm thinking about cabarets, concerts, whatever. I'm like, oh, that would sound amazing as like with like a country western twang, or slowed down as a ballad, or sped up, whatever. Which is the agency that you have as your creative. People ask me, how do I do a cabaret, a concert, something like that? And I'm like, well, first of all, point of view. Why do you do what you do? Why are you doing this? But then, well, you got an hour to yourself. What are you going to do? Take Defying Gravity and make it like a swinging jazz song. So many people already have, but what's your perspective? And that's what I think about at 7 in the morning. And then I slow down, and then I welcome a new chapter of my day, which is my client. And mm-hmm. then I am the photographer. And then I close the photographer chapter, and then I'm onto another hyphen. Multi-hyphenating, I think, a lot of people think, is multitasking.
Yeah, no.
And it's not. That's why I'm talking about workflow, is because we're never like, unless we're hired to do it. Like when I produced Indoor Boys, right? I was on set as a producer, but I was also on camera B and amongst other things. So there were times where like Alex Wise and Wes Taylor, does anyone know Indoor Boys, the web series Indoor Boys?
Yeah. I didn't know you did that.
Yeah. Yeah, season 2 and 3, I was executive producer.
Oh, wow.
And there were times where Wes and Alex wrote it, directed it, and, you know, produced it. And there were times where it was, you know, there it was Alex behind the lens watching that scene and then giving notes, but then also in the scene. There is the switching, the active switching. There is a concept called SOTS, which is an Anne Bogart viewpoint sort of thing, which is really cool. And it's about the SOTS. It's like, think of it like a train leaving the station, right? It comes to the station, you're either going to get on the train or not, and it leaves. You have to like jump on that impulse, or it's going to pass you by. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of, in those situations, that's what multi-hyphenating can be, where it's like active switching, where it seems like multitasking, but it's not. It's active switching. And multi-hyphenating, when you're in your daily life and not in a pressure cooker environment like that, is you can create your own schedule. 7 to 11, I'm a theater student and a photographer editing their clients' photos and emailing and thinking about how I can produce something. And then I'm the photographer. And then who's to say what else happens based on my schedule? That's what multi-hyphenating is. It's not chaotic. It's not. It's. Does anyone have any experience like that? Mm-hmm. Like anyone agree or disagree? Like how do you feel about that?
I was going to say, everyone sounds, you all sound so wonderfully organized. I'm like, my head is a wreck. It is quite chaotic in my brain. And so I am actually listening for tips as we're sitting here for like ways to clean some things up.
Because
I will have all of the different things going at the same time in my head. And like, I have like an endless amount of notes in my Gmail. I have drafts in my drafts Gmail folder. I have every little thought that I thought, oh, I need to do that. Oh, work on this. Oh, talk to this writer about this. Oh, okay, you can do this. Build the outline for this. And then you go back and look a couple days later and you're like, oh God, I can't do all this. What am I supposed to do? And it just sits there and it starts to pile and pile. And you're still taking on more and doing photo shoots and singing in cabarets and doing, and you're like, wait, I need to get a grip of myself again inside of this. So do know that it is natural to fail. It is natural to mess up. You will learn from all of those things. None of us are perfect. Mm-hmm. The journey towards being a successful and healthy multi-hyphenate is one that I think many people are working on constantly.
Does anyone have any relationship with failure? Because failure is a paradox, right? Mm-hmm. We have to fail in order to succeed. But we avoid failure.
It's love failing.
Mm-hmm. So does anyone love failing? Like, what's your relationship with failing?
I love it.
I hate it. I'm sure you love it. I despise it. Well, but I failed for so long. Yeah, and I still do. I mean, but I failed over and over again. I mean, also, I think inherently as an actor, going into it, well, you never fail going into an audition, but if you don't book something and you get like to the finish line and you don't get it, you just get so used to that feeling. And it gets harder and harder for me anyway. And then performing, oh my God, if I crack on stage, then I will run off stage and cry like I'm 13 years old. So I probably have to see a therapist about that. So I'll be seeing you after this.
I will say, I think you brought something up that's really important, which is about, for me, a relationship to failure is equally about a relationship to how I personally define success. Mm-hmm. Because you can't fail if you don't know what the success that you did not achieve is, right? And I think I use something that I like to think of, which is in greater society, we think a lot about vertical success, is how I name it, right? Where you think of like more money, more fame, more notoriety. And you know, that I think, I suppose, in the theater concept is like Harold Hill in high school to Juilliard to Sutton Foster level validation, you know, like you, where it just, you go from success to success in very visible, and you accumulate more and more and more recognizable means of being a success. And I guess for me, it's about acquiring what I like to call horizontal success, which is a breadth of experiences, a breadth, and I also mean human experiences, including failure. You know, I think going back to my original point too, you know, there are people that I'm sure might look at my walking away from a fancy project as in some way a failure, or the failure of a marriage, or the failure of a communication in a family. But I was actually really proud of how I handled it, and it felt like a success of a strategic navigation away from something that was not bringing me joy, that was not going to serve anyone. And so that was, to me, like an example of a failure that I reframed, because it was a successful extrication and a realignment to something that was better for me. And I wager better for the project too, but that's not my business. But I think if you think about success in a vertical way, you're never really going to pull into the train station. Mm-hmm. But if you think about it as acquiring experiences and masteries in a horizontal way, your life just gets richer. And that is always a success for me.
Yeah. Thank you. We have to wrap up. We're about to fail at our time constraint. But I know that we have more thoughts, more wonderful things. So please, everyone, follow my wonderful panelists on Instagram or social media. Let's just go down the line right now where we can follow each other, starting with Al.
I'm at Al Silbs.
Oh.
Alsilbs. See you there.
I'm at Marla Mandel. And you can also follow at Titanic Musical if you feel like it.
At L. Morgan Lee.
Mine's a little more complicated, and I'm shadow banned because I talk about sex, so you have to type it in exactly. It's at the right, WRIGHT _ Rachel, RACHEL.
You can look at people I follow to follow, you know, all the good stuff. But thank you to Alan and Allison and Broadway Podcast Network. Thank you to Broadway Con. You have 91 episodes of Dear Multi-Hyphenate out, including conversations with Carol Burnett, Rachel Brosnahan, Billy Porter, Carson Kressley, and so many more wonderful people. So please download, comment, subscribe, all of that good stuff. And so many more, so many incredible people. I'm doing a Multi-Hyphenate workshop starting August 31st. It is virtual with my two co-teachers. So you can just message me on Instagram about that. And please buy my book, How to Be a Multi-Hyphenate in Theater Business. It's available on Amazon and Drama Book Shop and all good stuff. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Michael, for having us.
Yay. Thank you, Michael.
Also, thank you again for joining us today. Don't forget to follow us at Broadway Podcast Network and listen to the episode when it airs on bpn.fm or wherever you get your podcast. Bye.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Suffs. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Suffs celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.